I gotta turn off that dang click again. There's always this click. You know what? I think we should just get after it this time. I think we should just go for the gold. What's going on? It's your host, Seth. Don't call me Jack Wilds. And I'm here with my buddy, my podco, my homebro, Nate the Daywalker Morris. How we doing, Nate?
What it do?
It do good, Nate. It do good. So this is Tilted Pod. We're real excited for you to be here and listening and joining in and having fun. And we're going to talk some magic because it's the best game in the world. And we like to start off every podcast by talking about us playing that game, what we did that week. So, Nate, what'd you do this week?
It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
I tried to make Sun and Moon an actual legit deck again. For those of you who don't know by now, I am a huge proponent of Sun and Moon. Probably one of my favorite decks to play. We'll get into that a little bit more later. I also played a lot of Jeskai this week, trying to tune it. I think I finally got a nice control shell. Although, that could change also with some of the standings coming out, but I gotta say I've been testing a Jeskai list with Tameo.
It's
been going alright.
Yeah, know? You like that?
Yeah, when you pop a Tameo emblem with the Supreme Verdict in hand, it seems pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Your opponent plays for a little bit and they just go, nah, this ain't me, fam.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that. I feel that, dude. I never really liked playing against that card, but I do like playing with it. It was a pretty fun card to play.
It was a fun card. I've also been reading a lot. I've been reading Patrick Chapin's Next Level Magic. For those of you who don't know what the book is, try and do some research on it. If you want to borrow it from me, if you know me, ask me. I'll let you borrow it. It's a very good read.
If you want to borrow it anyways, if you don't know him, he'll mail it to you.
I'll mail it to you.
Yeah. Our fans are our friends, dude. They're family. You guys are all of our friends. That's tight, dude. Yeah. So you've been reading that. So I feel like Star City's been pushing this book for so long. Is it even relevant in today? I mean, I know the general strategy is relevant, but is it hard to like keep up with sometimes because they're like outdated cards that we're talking about most of the time?
Yeah, so listen, Patrick Chapin does a real good job of talking about some of the concepts of the outside life of Magic and how to encompass and make your game better, but he also does a lot of name dropping, and when he gives examples, you kind of have to look at those cards a couple of times, because you're like, I don't remember any of that.
Yeah, nothing's coming off the top of your head. You're like, what, dude? He's been in the game a little longer than me, I'd say.
For sure.
Yeah, so,
yeah, for sure.
But I did remember hearing a while back that they did an updated copy of it, like, but I still think that updated copy is
it's from like 2014 or 15, I think.
Yeah, which I mean, copy. At this point, is some of those cards are even like, what? Well, yeah. I don't remember that. Sweet, man, that's cool. But you like it? You think it's a good read?
I do. I think it's a very good read. Cool. I think that it would make you a better player, no matter where you are or what facet of the game you're playing in.
Nice. Shout out to some P-Chap then. P-Chapin. P-Chappers.
Chapin.
P-Champers. Man, I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't get to do a whole lot of new stuff this week in Magic. I have been pretty swamped at work, but that's not what you want to hear about. You want to hear about cards, and I will tell you cards I played. I played robots. I played me some Affinity still. Still working on that 16 land Affinity version. I think you were right. I kind of like the 16 lands.
I think it's a good ratio.
I kind of like it.
Squeezing the extra card in there. I mean, it could be anything, too.
I'm playing, like, a weird... The one of that I'm playing extra, though, is a Welding Jar main. Like, it's the exact same deck, but I'm playing adding a Welding Jar for one more zero drop, and it also has been really good in random games where I have it early and they just can't kill my serious threat.
Right.
So, that's it. And it's easy to... It's just nice. It's a nice little fun of. Mm-hmm. And it also just helps me turn on my zero drop, Mox Opals a little faster. So I've been doing that. I also just got done testing Blue-White Monument in Modern.
Ooh.
But I've played this deck for a while. I put this deck together a while back. Somebody like 5-0'd a league with it or did pretty well at like a Mox or something. And then the deck just died off. And today I saw that Saffron Olive put up a budget Magic with a mono white, basically a mono white version, but it still had Sky Hussar in it. And it looked like so much fun, I forgot. And the deck was still sleeved up in the corner somewhere of my room. So I decided to pilot that bad boy a couple games. The deck has actually got some legs, I think. I think the version I have definitely could be a little bit better, but it's got legs. I mean, it can move. And it's got a lot of legs if you think about it. There's a lot of 1-1 Vigilant Soldiers. You know, those are two legs for each one of those you're playing. That's a lot of legs.
That's like 10 legs a game.
That's a bunch of probably more
and
than
that. From what I've saw, like when you get Monument out, you can do some pretty ridiculous things.
It goes insane. Yeah. And I'm only playing like 4 of the Bounce Lions. Fleece
Main Lion?
I don't think it's Fleece Main. White Main.
White Main Lion.
White Main Lion. And then I'm playing, you know, Squad Hawks. You know, love me some Hawks.
Reflector Mage.
Reflector Mages. So you can do some fun stuff. It's pretty good against... I played it against Eldrazi Tron. I was kind of crushing it. I liked it.
I'd say, yeah. I mean, yeah. Wall of Omens is another good card. I mean, there's just a lot of value and synergy with White Main Lion... Bouncing your Wall of Omens, bouncing your Reflector Mage, bouncing itself.
Right. You're playing great. A lot of really bad cards, kind of. But together, with our powers combined, we are Monument Modern. Together they're pretty cool. It's fun. It's a fun deck to play.
It is fun deck to
definitely, play. Definitely sleeve it up if you want to have some fun. I don't think it's going to... I wouldn't take it to, like, GP or anything right now. But maybe. Maybe you can help me build that deck.
And we'll try and get a deck list up for you of what Seth was playing sometime on our Twitter. And so you
I
can
might try to stream with it. I know I, or not stream
Ooh,
with it. I might
fun.
Try to YouTube with it. YouTube it. I'm going to YouTube it.
YouTube it.
But I'm not sure. I have an affinity one I want to put up. I don't know. You guys send me out some options because I've got some time coming up this week and I wanted to put some videos out. If there's something like that sounds cool that we talk about, let me know and I might try to put up a league. All right, cool. So that brings us to the news. First of all, we got a banned and restricted update.
Everything's banned.
Everything is going. It's
everything
so bad.
You thought was fun is gone.
Guess what, guys? We don't actually play Vintage. We love Eternal Magic, but Vintage, I'm sorry. I mean, I've put quite a bit of money into Magic, but not that much.
Yeah.
But I will let you know that as of August 28, 2017, in Vintage, Thorn of Amethyst is now restricted. Monastery Mentor is now restricted. And Yawgmoth's Bargain is unrestricted.
Praise be the Lord.
What do you think here?
I mean, I think it's kind of fun. I think it's cool that something in our era of Magic has been restricted in Vintage, like Monastery Mentor. Like, it's just cool to see a card that we saw come into Standard be restricted in Vintage.
Right.
I know Thorn of Amethyst is very good card. I've seen it
but
played
but they just
in...
keep restricting cards from the Stax decks instead of like restricting the land that costs... I don't even know how much that land is.
A lot.
Mishra's whatever. You guys know what I'm talking about. The one that taps for 3 mana for artifacts. So it looks like they just keep trying to neuter this deck. I'm not going to speak too highly or too much on it because I don't play Vintage, and I know people who do play Vintage get pretty, you know, passionate about it.
Yeah.
So, but I do know that they keep trying to neuter this deck, and it seems like the only thing we ever see is pieces of stacks get cut out.
Get restricted.
Other than that, I think Yawgmoth's Bargain probably not going to do. I mean, it's a crazy cool card, but I don't really think it's going to do that much. There's already so many crazy draw combos out there now that it's, you know, probably good. Let's see. Also, Modern, nothing happened. What do you think about that, Nate?
I think it's great. I mean,
it's a good place. Leave it. Yeah.
It's the healthiest it's been in a long time. There's not one deck that's just overpowering, overwhelming, and just destroying. I know that we've gone through kind of seasonal decks, so to say. You know, Grixis Death Shadow is real good there for a minute. Affinity kind of got hot again there for a minute. And
right.
I think it's fine.
I think everything's fine. Everything seems balanced. There's a ton of decks you can lose to all kinds of things. Legacy, no Deathrite Shaman banning. I was happy to see that. I think that's preposterous as it's even being talked about. But you know, we had a hot take on that. We had a Scry Games question of that last week. But yeah, I'm glad to see it's not gone. You're deep down, you're glad.
I'm glad it's not gone. Yeah. I mean, It's a really cool card. It does a lot of cool things.
It makes Legacy really fun.
Yeah, I think it just makes Legacy fun. Should it be banned? I mean, that's a debate we had last week. Am I glad it's not banned? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, cool. And Standard. Yeah, Standard is apparently really great right now anyways. It'd be funny if they banned something like right now.
Oh, it'd be hilarious.
Yeah, like they're just weird just right before the next set.
Ulamog, the Ceaseless Hunger, gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah, I was like, why? No. Why'd you do that?
He was not banned. No worries.
So that brings us on to Ixalan, man. I will say that Ixalan looks like one of the coolest sets ever. So do you remember not that long ago, Nate, when that creepy guy or gal stole a whole sheet of foil rares or mythics and we got
pictures
we got a dump truck full of spoilers.
Yeah.
And they were all bad, shoddy images. Well, Wizards was like, you know what? We're just going to give you all those, and we'll give you the real art. And I will say this. The real art's a lot cooler than,
There are some really cool art in this set. And I'm glad, too. They gave us some extra spoilers, you know what I mean? So it's not just the rares that we already have. We have some other spoilers, too.
And we're going to talk about a few of those spoilers, but I think first, let's just talk about the mechanics that are going to be in Ixalan. And let's just sub-hype for this freaking dinosaur set, man. I'm so into it. Yeah, that's my... Do you know what that's from?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
Just watched the newest one last night.
Nice. Just getting hyped for this podcast. Yeah. All right, so Nate, break us down our first mechanic out of Ixalan.
So I'll go the dinosaur side. We have Enrage.
Nice.
And so this is a trigger that whenever, you know, dinosaurs are dealt damage, it also deals damage to target opponent.
So basically, if you're like an Indian or a merfolk or a settler or pirate and you came out there and you were like trying to pop off a arrow or a gun at this dinosaur, it didn't kill it. It just pissed it off and it's coming for you.
Coming for blood.
And your family.
And so it's cool. I mean, like,
I think it's
like
a cool idea. It's flavorful.
Shock or Bolt or something like that in Standard, whenever it hits one of these dinosaurs, it deals the damage directly back to the player. I think that's cool.
Or something like that.
I also like that it doesn't deal damage back to a creature or a player. I'm glad that it's just a player.
I don't think it's always to a player. There's different Enrage mechanics. There's different abilities that Enrage triggers.
Yeah,
Enrage is just the trigger.
Enrage is just the trigger.
But in this specific one that you're looking at right here, it's when
it's
Sun
just the opponent.
Yeah, deals damage, 3 damage to target opponent.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
What's cool about this is that with Red being one of the hot decks, and I don't think that the electricity, what is it called? Why can't I think of it?
Harness Lightning?
Harness Lightning. Thank you, Nate.
On the ball.
I don't think that Harness Lightning is going anywhere, really. It's still going to be around in Standard. So with that being like one of the best kill spells, you have to kill this dinosaur with 5 damage, and you're always getting something out of it. It's like a mini Leovold.
Yeah.
It's like a mini, but it has to be targeting the dinosaur itself or whatever. Do you think there's going to be anything else or just dinosaurs with Enrage?
I think it's just dinosaurs with Enrage.
Okay. Sweet. I think it's a cool thing. My favorite out of this one, my favorite Enraged dinosaur that I've seen so far is the Ripjaw. What is it called? Ripjaw Raptor. And it's ping it. It's a 4/5 for 4. Am I correct on that?
Mm-hmm.
4/5 for 4, 2 green and 2 generic. And then Enrage, whenever you
deal damage to it
or it is dealt damage, draw a card. I think this card is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Like, so far, this is my favorite one I've seen.
Yeah.
Now, we don't have a ton out, but that seems like a good card, man. I remember Pelucranos being pretty BA. And now, this is no Pelucranos, but it's still 4/5 for 4 is really good on rate. And the fact that if you want to deal with it, most likely you're going to have to deal damage with it, which is going to replace itself with a card.
So,
I think that's cool. All right, what's our next mechanic, Nate?
Our next mechanic is the raid mechanic.
Now, this is a returning mechanic, correct?
Mm-hmm. This is a returning mechanic.
When was this? Theros or when was raid?
I don't remember the last time we had the raid mechanic.
I can't remember.
It's been a hot minute, though.
Yeah.
But it's cool, though.
Cons.
Cons. It was cons. Yeah. It was cons. So raid is some way like when you attack with a creature this turn, X happens. So you play your creature after you've already attacked, and then you get to do something extra. And so for this one, for Deadeye Tormentor, for example, 2 generic and a black with raid, it's a 2/2. When Deadeye Tormentor enters the battlefield, if you attacked with a creature this turn, target opponent discards a card.
Yeah, so a cool thing about Raid is for newer players, mm-hmm. it really helps you like learn that there is a second main phase. It really helps, I mean, it kind of it pushes it into your head that like, hey, wait a minute, I don't always have to cast creatures first main, then mm-hmm. go attacking. Though most of the time, it seems a little bit better to attack first and then play out your cards. Now, that's not always. Right, obviously, there's counter cases for that. But I just think it helps a newer player understand and really get that second main phase.
No, I totally agree. I think that some players trying to break into Modern sometimes get excited and play their stuff before they really have to. And that gives a little bit of a competitive advantage to the, you know, seasoned players who kind of know the stack well, who know the combat phase well, all of that stuff. So I think that cards like this really force standard players. And I think newer players migrate to standard before they go to, you know, eternal formats to really learn how that mechanic works as far as playing something after the combat phase.
Right.
Yeah.
So next we've got, it's not really a mechanic, but there will be treasure, mm-hmm. which is basically like gold. Do you remember when we had gold? Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
That was like, that one might have been Theros. Because there was like that King Midas and he turns things to gold.
I remember that.
Now, gold was you can sacrifice it and mm-hmm. add any mana of any color, right? Yep. I think this is the exact same thing, except you have to tap it. So I think treasure is tap it, sacrifice it, add one mana. It's a lotus petal, basically.
Except for treasure, is treasure for mana? Is that what it is?
Yeah, sacrifice this artifact, add one mana of any color to your mana pool.
Yep.
But it's tap sacrifice. So gold, I think, was just like you could just sacrifice
it.
Yeah, so it may be, you know, there's corner cases why that might not be quite as good. But I think it's cool. I love playing with Lotus Petal. So mm-hmm. if I have creatures that are giving me free mana, like the one they have up here now, Prosperous Pirates, they're kicking down your door for 4 and a blue, Human Pirate, 3/4. And then whenever it enters the battlefield, you get 2 colorless treasure token artifacts that have that ability.
And it could be cool. I mean, the thing is, though, this is what worries me about the treasure and the gold mechanics is that hopefully there's not something too overpowering, because we all know that free mana is the best way to destroy a format.
Yeah, but I'm sure that, like, they're going to be real careful with this in here. And, you know, free mana on a 5-mana card to add 2 colorless back is really, I don't
not
think
bad,
it's like ridiculous, you know.
But this is a common 2 free mana on a 2-drop card.
Yeah, they're hopefully they didn't make one of those. I mean, hopefully they did for my sake, but yeah, because that ramps you quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I think this is a cool, I think
concept.
I like it. Yeah, I think it's very flavorful. You know, it's fun. It's a fun concept, mm-hmm. man. I like to pillage for treasure. Let's see, what else we got?
Explore.
This is a type mechanic. Go ahead and explain Explore.
So, Explore is reveal the top card of your library, put that card into your hand if it's a land. Otherwise, put blank counter on a creature, then put the card back into your or put it into your graveyard. And that's just an example from a specific card.
I think all Explore is the same, though. It's
is
either
it the same?
It's so basically what it is if it's a land, you draw it,
mm-hmm.
and there's no +1/+1 counters. So you just found extra land. If it is not a land, you can either put that card in your graveyard or on the bottom or on the top. So mm-hmm. it's essentially a scry, but even better because you can put it in your graveyard.
Yeah.
Which we know with Delirium and things like that. Which there is no Delirium sticking around.
There will not be any Delirium.
Yeah, there will be no Delirium. But for other instances, there's other things that utilize a graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
That's way better. To me, I would rather have the decision to put that in my graveyard than just on the bottom of my library where it's unlikely I'm going to see it again anyways.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably better on the, you know, there. But if you like the card, put it back on top. I mean, it's nice. I think this is a sweet mechanic. There's actually one guy that I think is a really good card, Deadeye Tracker, 1 black for a 1/1, and you can pay 2, tap them, exile 2 cards from an opponent's graveyard, and then explore. Seems like a very good card. It seems like a card that removes cards from their graveyard, can add cards to your graveyard, basically scry, or pop, you know, growing each turn, or grabbing your lands, drawing cards. I mean, it does a lot of things to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a cool mechanic. And I think there will be a way to utilize this and make it... This is going to be a mechanic I think people really use.
The fact that it's a one drop just makes it so good.
Oh, for that one guy? Yeah, yeah. Especially. And then, like, the one that they, I think, showed us first was Tashana's Wayfinder. Mm-hmm. And she's a 2-2 for 2 and a green. Merfolk Scout. Green. Color shifting, dude.
Color
shifting these merfolk. They're up on the land now, fighting the good fight with these dinosaurs. But whenever she enters the battlefield, she explores.
Yeah.
And so you get to do all that stuff. So, I mean, 3-mana 3-3 or 3-mana draw a card. Seems good.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we got? Ships Ahoy.
Ships Ahoy.
Not Chips Ahoy. Ships Ahoy.
Ships. So vehicles are back, right? Everybody yeah. loved vehicles.
Well, pirate ships.
Yeah, except for their pirate ships. You a fan?
I'm a fan, I think. I mean, flavor, I'm a fan. Yeah. I really didn't think they would be back already, but it makes a lot of sense. We only have one vehicle spoiled so far, correct?
Yeah, and it's okay. It's not bad.
What is that vehicle?
It's the Sleek Schooner.
Okay.
For 3 generic, crew 1, and it's a 4-3.
I mean, that's not bad.
It's not bad.
In limited, I feel like this is going to be really good.
Oh, yeah. In limited, this could be a real beatdown.
Just a 4-3. I mean, I wish it had some sort of evasion, but a crew 1 for a 4-3 seems pretty good.
Yeah.
But that's cool. It makes a lot of sense. The next card, this is a card. There are double face cards again.
Mm-hmm.
This is a card I am interested in. I think this is a very interesting card, and it's called Treasure Map, and this is our only double-faced card as of yet. And what it does is Treasure Map is an artifact that is 2 generic. It has an ability that says pay 1, tap it, scry 1, and then you get to put a landmark counter on Treasure Map. Then if there are 3 or more landmark counters on it, remove those counters and transform Treasure Map and create 3 colorless treasure artifact tokens. The treasure tokens that sacrifice this artifact at 1 mana of any color. So it initially gives you 3 scries. Then it gives you a lotus petal or a lotus bloom or a black lotus. I'm sorry. Not like better than all of those. It gives you a black lotus. You get 3 mana out of it and it taps and transforms into a treasure cove, which is tap, add 1 colorless mana to your mana pool or tap, sacrifice a treasure, draw a card. This thing is sweet. Now, something to notice, when it comes into play, you get those treasures, but it will be tapped because you actually have to tap, sacrifice the, you tap it, right?
Yes.
So, it will be tapped, so you won't be use it right away, but you could do it at the end of their turn or whatever, and I think this card is sweet, man. What do you think about this card?
I think that, well, let's talk about the art, right? The actual art of the card is beautiful.
Oh, are you talking about the back?
The back of the treasure map. The treasure cove part of the back.
I think it's one of the coolest looking cards. Like, the fact that they don't have to do the normal border
is amazing.
Is so cool.
Yeah. And so the card itself is beautiful. The fact that it gives you... It does so much, I think, is great.
Yeah.
I think this card's going to be really good. They are pre-selling on Star City for $3 right now.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna order some of these.
I'm gonna get a play set as soon as I can.
If Control comes back, this seems like a card that Control would want and play always.
Oh yeah.
It also seems like there's got to be some way to break it a little bit, like proliferating these counters to get extra mana really fast. Like, is it something that Ad Nauseam could ever play? Probably not, but maybe. I mean, there's got to be something out there where you're hype, like you're pumping it up fast.
Oh, yeah.
And getting, because giving you 3 treasure tokens when you flip it, and then itself, it's like a 2 mana costing land. I mean, that's a lot. That's 4 mana right off the, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
I think that this card seems really good, and it's definitely going to change some things. It's going to bring some cool, somebody's going to find a way to make this card even more busted than it looks.
Right.
And it might not be. Maybe I'm completely off on this, but I think this card, one, it's like you said, I think the look of this card alone is super sweet.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
Okay, so anything else? Oh, yeah. Oh, there's one more thing.
What was it? Oh, yeah, there's one more thing.
There's one more thing. I don't know how important it was, but
no, it wasn't very important.
It wasn't?
It was kind of at the bottom of our list.
Yeah. I think that's, by the way, Planeswalkers are now legendary.
Oh, sweet!
Oh, righteous! So, this explains why Nate started playing Sun and Moon again, because now he's basically playing Sun and Moon Gideon Tribal.
I think about calling it, you know, Gideon and Moon.
Yeah.
I don't even know. So, let me tell you, listeners.
Very clever.
I'm a huge... aren't I?
Yeah, you're so...
I'm a huge proponent of Sun and Moon. I think the deck is almost playable. I just never
That's
really
such
got
a funny...
The...
Wait, just stop and listen to what you said. I'm a huge proponent of the deck, Sun and Moon. I think it's almost playable. That's so... like a funny thing to say. Like, the deck is like almost okay.
It's almost okay.
No, it's a good deck. It's
and
fun.
So, this is really what I've been doing this week. I've been trying to think of ways to make Sun and Moon great again. This announcement came out, and I just jumped on it. So, I'm playing Gideon Moon. It's been outstanding. If you've never had the feeling of getting a Gideon of the Trials out and then a Gideon Ally of Zendikar out and then following it up with a Gideon Jura or a Wrath of God or an Anger of the Gods, it's amazing. I mean, I've had a lot of fun with the deck. It's super trolly, I'll go ahead and tell you.
Well, that's the only type of magic you like anymore.
It is. I mean, it is. I mean, control is trolly too, right?
Yeah, kinda. No. I mean, you went from a control player to an actual troll player.
Oh, now you're just hurting my feelings.
No, I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way, but you went, I mean, you got to be honest. I don't even think you like regular control anymore. I think you kind of like prison decks.
I love regular control. I played a Sphinx's Rev this week and it never felt so good.
Ugh.
Yeah, Sphinx's Rev for 5 and your opponent just goes, damn
yeah,
it.
It's over.
It's over. Yeah, and the cards I drew were just sick. You know what I mean?
Well, when that happens, yeah. It makes it even worse.
But yeah, so the legendary rule is now in effect.
So basically what that means is I can play a Liliana of the Veil and a Liliana of the Last Hope and a Liliana's
Death Majesty,
and I can have them all on the board at the same time.
Sure can.
Which is a flavor fail and a Vorthos fail like a mofo.
Oh, yeah.
But they already did this with creatures. Legendary creatures.
Yeah.
I could have all my Thalias out. I don't know. What do you think this is going to do?
I legit, and this is me being honest, I legit think this is broken.
Do you?
This is not good for the game of Magic. I don't think anyway. It probably doesn't affect Legacy, you know. It probably doesn't affect Standard too much. I know that there's a lot of overlapping. I know that they love themselves some Jaces.
I think that this definitely means they're not going to print this many of a certain Planeswalker
in a row.
Yeah, because we've had so many.
Yeah,
I mean,
Jaces, Lilianas, Nissas. Yeah. I think this is going to be incredibly bad for Modern, though. I think there's going to be Gideon decks that can be a little bit oppressive.
I think Gideon might actually be a Gideon tribal deck is actually a thing now.
Yeah, and I think there could be a Nissa deck. I know that we kind of talked about that earlier.
And the fact that Jund and Grixis don't have to worry about like how many allocated spots they have to their 3-mana Lilianas.
Yeah.
They can play both. They're never going to get flooded with Liliana. I think that's good, but I don't know. I can't decide yet. I want to play around with it some. I don't think it's going to be awful. And we might have more things that destroy Planeswalkers coming up, too. Maybe.
It's
I don't
true.
Know.
I but
don't
I mean,
know.
Can you imagine playing a Garrick ramp deck that just ramps into all the Garricks?
That's true. That would actually be pretty fun. I kind of want to build
super
that.
Super fun. And I've thought about trying. Like, I'm not a green player, so I don't even know where to start.
It would be green black, too. It would be like green black ramp.
Because it's
because you need the
relentless one or whatever.
Apex Predator.
Apex Predator. So you could have just the Garricks of Garricks.
Plus
out
that
there.
Flip one from Innistrad. That one was pretty sweet. Yeah. That makes Death Touch Wolves.
And then Primal Hunter. There's just
and
so many good ones.
The Wild Speaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of sounds fun. It sounds okay, guys. When this rule goes into effect, let's do that. Let's make one of those decks and just see what happens.
We're gonna play it.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't think the Jace's deck though is good. You know what I mean? Like Jace has been good in certain situations.
Yeah,
but
it's not gonna be. There could be a Mind Sculptor deck if you could get enough, or not Mind Sculptor.
Vryn's Prodigy.
No, I mean Vryn's Prodigy is good.
Thought.
No, the one that mills you 20 cards.
Oh, the 5-drop.
Yeah. I mean, that's obviously
Memory
not going to be that good.
Memory of Death.
But if there's some way, like, I think that would be the high end of your Jace if you're going to do that. But no, that's not going to be good. So don't worry about me saying that.
But, Gideon, Garrick, Liliana.
Yeah.
I mean, Chandra, maybe.
Chandra, possibly. But,
possibly.
Well, at least you could have your 6-mana and your 4-mana. I don't know. But here's the thing. And the 3-mana flip one, which wasn't awful.
Oh, yeah, which wasn't terrible.
Here's what I think, though. They announced this. They made this announcement with... the first Planeswalker they spoiled, and that is Jace, Cunning Castaway. First of all, this dude is in the cast of Rent, not Cast Away. He is. This is some definite weird art for this Jace. Like, it's strange. I mean,
they missed
hood.
Yeah, they missed it.
I mean, he's on a ship, so that hood would be real hot. So maybe he's just like, ooh, I'm chilling. I'm leaning off of these ropes. But he's a legendary planeswalker named Jace. Mythic rare, obviously, costing one generic and two blue. And he is, so he's a three drop. He's a three drop planeswalker, which
are normally good.
Yeah. I mean, when I first saw that, I was like, ooh, how good's it going to be? And then I looked down, it's three loyalty. Okay, that's fine. His plus one ability is whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player this turn, draw a card, then discard a card. Okay, that's really not very good.
That's not very good at all.
It would be tight if it was for each creature that dealt damage, draw a card, discard a card.
Yes.
But that does not sound normal. I mean, when you're playing a three-mana Planeswalker Jace, you kind of feel like you're not going to be in an aggro deck, right? I mean, or you're wanting this to... Jace is typically a little bit of a control Planeswalker, correct?
Yeah, so that seems like a weird... He's got kind of like an aggro plus one where you want to be swinging small creatures.
Yeah, and swinging, not protecting them. Is only three mana, so that pops him up to four, which it likely means you're not going to get hit back dead that next turn.
Mm-hmm.
His negative two... Now, this is the one that I just... He puts out a bear. I mean, he puts out an illusion bear. He puts out a phantasmal bear. Create a 2/2 blue illusion creature token with when this creature... It has the illusions... ability. So whenever it's targeted by anything, you have to sacrifice it. Whenever it's targeted by not anything, a spell, you can tap it. I don't know about that. Play a three mana planeswalker to get a 1/1 and have one loyalty left on your Jace.
Yeah.
Okay, so
a 2/2 and one loyalty.
Sorry, a 2/2 that can that literally can be tagged by anything.
Killed by anything in the opponent's hand. I don't like it.
So, even pump spells, I mean, they're just pump it, kill
it. That means the ultimate's got to be just crazy, right?
Yeah. Well, you get to create two more Jaces, and they don't have legendary. So, it's just a ship full of Jaces.
Yeah, that are doing shitty things.
That's like the worst party ever. Because he's so emotional. If you were just on a ship and they just kept multiplying, you got these fucking emo Jaces everywhere, just like... Oh, seems weird.
They better be singing me like 525,600 minutes or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, okay. So, let's think about this. Illusion. How could this really be that good? Like, so if you make... Here's my thing. It's a three-mana Planeswalker, though, so I almost want to buy some because we all know what happened with the two-mana Planeswalker that everyone thought was complete garbage. Except I don't know how everyone thought that was garbage. But this one loots. You have to have creatures to do it. Doesn't loot on its own. This one doesn't play anything from the graveyard. But let's say you make... So you plus this twice, then you make two Jaces. Then you plus each one of those. Each one of those is a new instance of drawing cards, right, with your creatures. So, I just don't know. Can you go infinite with Doubling Season?
I think you could.
But all you're doing is making
a bunch
infinite
of Jaces.
Yeah, but could you make infinite bears at that point, at a certain point?
You could make
infinite
bears.
But you can make a very large number.
A large amount of bears. I mean, technically, you could make infinite Jaces and then infinite bears in response, neg one all of those. That's going to be really weird if someone can pull that off.
Does Doubling Season work that way? It says create two tokens that are copies of Jace, Cunning Castaway, except they're not legendary. So you make... How does Doubling Season read? I need to pull that card up.
Let's do some research before we tell you wrong information, listeners. I think it's going to work that way. I mean, I think it's going to work that way. They're just tokens, right? They're not actually, whatever, and they're not legendary.
I just need to know how Doubling Season actually reads. I do not remember. Doubling Season says, if in effect would put one or more tokens onto the battlefield under your control, it puts twice that many on those tokens on the battlefield instead. And in effect would place one or more. Okay, so yeah. So I guess since it's coming in with three, the tokens would be coming in with three, it would instantly go up to six. And you would just have infinite bears? Infinite Jaces to make infinite bears?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, maybe, I guess, but that's a
fringe. It's a fringe deck.
I mean, yeah, it's probably not really a deck. But I guess you can do it. They're illusion bears, too. That's what's weird. So you can kill them real fast, but I don't know. I don't know, guys. You know what? Tweet us your thoughts about this.
It's a toss-up for us.
I'm going to tell you this. It's going to be hard for me not to pre-order some of these just because, one, it's the first Planeswalker that has the legendary Planeswalker printed on it. It's got awful art that I kind of like for some reason because it's so bad.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting to me. It has, and it's a 3-mana Planeswalker. And right. I just feel like there's something about that.
Yeah.
You know? But let us know your thoughts. Tell us what you think about Jace Cunning Castaway. Sweet. So, I think that's news, right?
That's news.
I think that wraps it up. But, you know, we can't go a week without talking deck lists. And since we didn't have a lot of GPs or opens to talk about, we found some cool ones in Modern. And we're not going to talk about any standard, sorry. And we did have GPs, but we're not going to talk about Limited either. There's definitely better Limited podcasts out there.
Oh, yeah. And we love Limited.
I love playing Limited, but I can't talk about it that much.
It's just not something we are proficient at and something that you would want to listen to us ramble about.
But we do have some Modern. Don't worry, guys. We found Modern to talk about. And Nate, you said you wanted to talk about a couple. We're not going to go through the whole top eight here, but Nate found an IQ that has some interesting lists, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
All right, well, let us know what you feel about what are you thinking about these lists? Which IQ is it?
It's the IQ in Littleton. And okay. So there's a couple cool decks. Fourth place, Dustin Galt got through with fairies.
Yo, I'm telling you, I think this deck, if Scapeshift is going to be so popular, like, this deck seems like it would be pretty good. Disruption and counterspells. So, and Scapeshift has definitely moved up in the ranks.
For sure. And this is a Grixis Fairies deck.
Oh, Grixis Fairies.
Ooh. Grixis Fairies.
Spicy.
But let me tell you some of the cards that are in here, listeners. It's not just your normal fairies. There's a Ninja of the Deep Hours in
here. Dope.
Yeah. There's a Sword of War and Peace. 2 Culligan's Commands. And do you see that card down there that we thought was so good in Standard? A Supreme Will.
Nice.
Not to mention all of the other stuff that he has.
Gifts Ungiven.
Yeah. I mean, for normal, you know, Modern. He also has a Disallow, I think is really cool. Mm-hmm. Just one.
He's got his Tasigur, too.
Yeah, the deck list is just...
This deck looks fun.
Real tight. You know, Rise and Fall. He's got a lot of cool cards. Grass of Himmung in fourth place. It's a really cool deck to look at. I'm glad that he did well with it. I'm not sure I could even pilot this deck.
No, it's pretty interesting. I will say this. This is weird. He's playing the 4 Mutavaults, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got 2 Reflecting Pools in a Grixis deck. Like, it's cool. I've never really seen anybody play Reflecting Pool, though, in Modern.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see it that often. Unless you're playing, like, a really crazy tribal deck, you know? Yeah. But even then, it's not a popular... I think that's interesting. 1 Creeping Tar Pit. His V-Clicks and... I mean, really, it's not that much of a... fairy list. It's kind of like pseudo fairies. It's like a little bit fairies for the tempo, but it's mostly
Grixis good stuff ish.
Kind of. I mean, it only is playing 1 Mistbind Click, so you can't really. I feel like it's not really like fairies, you know.
I mean, but it's got 4 Spell Stutter Sprites, 2 Vermilion Clicks.
Right, but I feel like those are just going to be like counter spells, you know. There and then 3 Bitter Blossom is really the thing that. But it's very light on the fairy.
Yeah.
It's cool, man. Liliana Lasso, Blightning. In the sideboard. Blightning, guys.
Still a cool deck. Check it out.
Cool deck.
I thought it was tons of fun.
Did you play it?
No.
Did you try about it? Oh, you just said looks like tons of fun. Yeah,
looks like tons of fun. You know, and I would be happy to play it and give it my all.
And right below that?
Fifth place, Mono Blue Grand Architect.
Okay, so this is a Zach Elsick special. But it looks like this guy's made some changes.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sweet. Zach Elsick is that guy who brought you decks like Lantern Control. And really, he's just I think he's one of the guys, first guys to do God's Pharaoh's Gift, too.
Yeah.
But this deck is sweet. It's got... So the backbone of this deck is kind of Chief Engineer, which it's a 1 and a blue. Artifacts you control have Convoke, which you guys know Convoke means you can tap creatures to pay for mana.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 1/3. It has Grand Architect, and that is a 1 and 2 blue. It's also a 1/3, and it says other blue creatures you control get +1/+1, and then pay 1 blue. Target artifact creature becomes blue until end of turn. And then you can also tap an untapped blue creature you control to add 2 mana to your mana pool. Spend this only to cast Ooh, spend this to only cast activated or artifact spells or activate abilities of artifacts. So then you got some big honkers like Mirror Superior, which costs two mana, but you can only spend creature mana on it to cast them, which means you can convoke it. It's got Master of Aetherium, which is power and toughness is equal. It's a blue artifact, but its power and toughness is equal to the number of artifacts you control, and it pumps all your other artifacts. Mm-hmm. Lodestone Golem, which is my favorite part of this deck. 5/3 We usually see it in Vintage or in Mud in Legacy, and it's non-artifact spells cost one more to cast. Then you've got Aetherium Sculptors. Artifact spells you cast cost one less. I mean, there's just so many things that are happening here. You know, it's just everything is reducing the cost of everything else.
Yeah.
Now you're pumping it with Walking Ballistas. So with Grand Architect, you can just be popping up Walking Ballistas, activated abilities so easy. A Worm Coil Engine in there. Then you got some weird other ones. Some Judge's Familiars and some Maelstrom Wanderers.
Okay. Mausoleum Wanderers.
Yeah, sorry. Mausoleum Wanderers. Then, Nate, your favorite card for some reason, Smuggler's Copter.
It's a great card, and it will find its place in Modern. I think it's a great card in, like, almost anything you can stick it in.
Well, it's nice when these Judge's Familiars and Mausoleum Wanderers can be crewing it up. And then Throne of the God Pharaoh. So you can convoke out all your artifacts and then deal damage still at the same time. I think the Throne of the God Pharaoh is a cool new, like, add to this deck.
But this deck is just really neat. I mean, it's got a lot going on. And with how many non-played cards there are, I feel like this deck would be rather cheap. You know, not the cheapest, but cheap.
I would totally try this deck. I've had a friend that we did try it. I did not know this card existed, though. Mindlock Warp. Players can't search libraries. See you, fetch lands.
That
is kind of crazy. I did not know that was a card, but now I do, and it sounds fun. You got Thorn of Amethyst in the sideboard. You got another Worm Coil. You got Trinket Mage, Dismembers, Hangerback Walkers. This is a sweet deck. This is the deck we should be playing. We should try this.
And I feel like with this diverse of a sideboard, Chandler Birch, the guy who piloted it, must have put a lot of thought into his sideboard and his matchups. It'd be cool to get him on here, maybe try and talk about his sideboard a little bit. I mean, he's got a lot of not weird cards, but different cards, you know, what situations they're good in and not good in.
I mean, I kind of wonder why he's not playing Mox Opal, though.
It's a good point. I mean, it's free ramp, right?
I mean, I guess he doesn't need it that much because his chief engineers and his grand architects end up being a lot of mana, you know? Yeah. But I guess he doesn't have enough zero drops to make it, like, good ramp early, which makes sense. That is a very cool deck. Congratulations to you. You see anything else cool in here? I mean, there's that Amulet Titan. So we gotta at least give out a shout to any Amulet Titan.
Oh yeah. That Amulet Titan has to be running 3 Simeon Spirit Guides. How do you feel about that?
It's the combo-y version. You know. It's cool.
Faster.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it. I don't prefer it, but I like it. What's the next IQ you want to talk about?
Let's just head over to IQ Case.
Okay.
Also happened this weekend, another Modern IQ. Just two things I really want to say. Like, first off, 8th place was Affinity. I know that you've been playing Affinity a lot. He's on a 17 lands. He's also playing 2 Thought Casts and a Scrap Heap Scrounger with the 4 Galvanic Blasts.
I like that. But he's running 1 island, 1 mountain. So he's adding an island.
He is adding an island.
Which I don't think there's anything wrong with that right now.
I'm not opposed to the island, especially if you have Blood Moon in a sideboard. I'm not opposed to the island.
Mm-hmm.
He does not have the Blood Moon in a sideboard. But I still think it's.
If you're running Thoughtcast, though, I feel like you need to be running.
Yeah, running the blue.
Because right now, there's a lot of Ghost Quarters still floating out there. And there's a lot of paths because paths deal with, you know, all the big scary guys from Death Shadow. So you want to have more than one thing to search.
But to make room for all of these cards, he cut Steel Overseer.
Yeah, which sometimes is just the worst of your heavy hitting threats.
Yes, I think it is. Yeah, it can be the worst card in your hand a lot of times.
Yeah, I mean, it's when they can't answer it, it's over. But if you draw that, top deck it, and they've already dealt with most of your creatures, it's pretty awful. It's 2-mana 1/1 that is not doing much unless you have a lot of lands out there that you can activate. But
yeah,
I think it's weird that he cut a Blink Moth.
Yes.
You know, he just needed more color. But, you know, To each his own. What it is. There's a lot of things you can do. What other cards?
Last one, I promise. Third place, blue red through the breach, a control deck with a super cool win condition.
Yeah, this deck's been popping up a lot lately, I feel like.
Yeah, I think we've seen this a couple of times.
Emrakul through the breach deck, but you just have control game until you're ready to just smash them.
Yeah.
Cool, one of Jace Architect of Thought. And yeah, this is a Remand Spell Snare Cryptic Command Electrolyze deck. I mean, it's even Is It Charm. You have so many things that are just like... now, I have been seeing... Did you like that noise?
That was
like
fan,
a generator fan. but I have seen a lot of these that are running main deck Blood Moons. This one opted to leave the Blood Moons in the sideboard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cool.
I still think it's cool. It does run three Ceremonious Rejections in the sideboard, though. I think that's a must.
Yeah, you're really into that card.
I really like that card.
All right, so we're going to get into our big tournaments now to final breakdowns. First, we're going to start off with the mocks. Oh, the mocks, you say? Yes, that is what I said. So there was a Modern Mox over the weekend, and the only 8-0 list was Abzan. Ugh, what do you think? Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good feedback, Nate. Thanks for that, Nate. This is an awful deck. I mean, no, it's not an awful deck. Obviously, it's good. It plays four Liliana of the Veils. We also got Grim Flayer, Scavenging Ooze's Tarmogoyf, Tireless Tracker, Siege Rhino. I'm bored.
I like a lot of cards in the deck. I hate the deck.
Yeah, I'm just so bored. Like, hey, congratulations to Fall Leaf. Cool name. Like it. Mm-hmm. Keep it. Yeah, Fall Leaf, congratulations to you. There's nothing I see in this deck, though, that's like really that. I can wow the listeners with. Oh, there's a Ruined Halo.
Ruined Halo.
There's a Ruined Halo. That might even be normal. I just don't really look at these decks that often. Where do I think Abzan is right now, you ask? No, you didn't, but I might. I think it's all right. I think Abzan is a meta call. I think that's probably pretty good. What do you think?
I think it's definitely a meta call. I mean, it's got to
It's not really, I mean, meta right now. I think it's probably fine because it's always kind of a 50-50 deck. But
yeah,
currently, it's probably a little bit better than normal.
I think that it has a lot of good matchups right now. The Death Shadow is still kind of the played deck, you know, and it probably has pretty good game against Affinity because of the Stony Silences and Aside. A lot of removal, a lot of hand disruption, just that kind of stuff. But yeah, I don't know if I could ever play it.
All right, well, screw that deck, and let's move on to 7-1s. 7-1s, EGAD, 2-8-9-4. EGAD, dude. Amulet Titan right up there in that 7-1. Tight. This is a pretty baseline Amulet Titan deck, except that he is playing a main deck Ghost Quarter, 29 lands in the main deck also.
Yeah.
Because he's playing the Cavern of Souls and the Ghost Quarter main. Got the Groves in there, got the Talarias, got the Vesuvas, got the it's got all your normal land package, except he's just playing the extra Ghost. He's got three Relics main, four Amulets main. He's playing two Explore, which I like the cut to two Explore. That's how he's making a little extra room. He's playing one Walking Ballista, some Azusas, some Sakuras, some Prime Times, a Pact of Negation, and some Summoner's Packs, and some Ancient Stirrings, and that's a deck, guys. It's a really fun deck. I suggest people go out and try to play it, because it's really fun. But he's got some cool things in the sideboard, a Ramunap Excavator, so he can play lands from his graveyard. He's got a Rex Sage, some Trackers, a Chameleon Colossus. We've been talking about Chameleon Colossus, man, and he's he's just good. A Thrag Tusk, a Rurikthar, my favorite card to cast in this deck, and a Hornet Queen. He's playing Kozilek's Returns as well. So, sweet. Good job, EGAD.
EGAD!
In 7-1, we've got another big mana strategy, Bant Nightfall. Tell me about this. Break it down, Nate. Get it!
Sebify? It's a pretty cool deck. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's based around beating you up with real big Knight of the Reliquaries.
Yeah, so this has got the...
Got the Retreat to Core Home combo. He's also going to not let you have too much fun with Spell Queller, Eternal Witness, Aven Mind Censor, Quasali Pride Mage, a lot of utility cards, Four Path to Exile so nothing gets crazy. Just a super cool deck.
Sweet.
One Gavinny Township in the land package, one Ghost Quarter, and one Sajiri Step.
Sijiri. Sijiri.
Sijiri. Sijiri. Sijiri.
I think he's the lead singer of some band.
All I know is that when it enters the battlefield, target creature you control gains protection from the color of your choice until end of turn. That could be backbreaking when he gives his Knight of the Reliquary protection from whatever you have on the battlefield.
Yeah. Here's my favorite thing about this one, though. This sideboard looks like right up your alley, too. We got a Bajuka Bog, which I love having that one of. Mm-hmm. That little silver bullet that you can search up. And he's got three Ceremonious Rejection, which you love.
I'm a huge proponent of it.
Check this out. Three Flash Freeze. Counter target red or green spell.
That seems a little intense.
It seems pretty good right now, though.
It seems pretty good, especially when you're going after Scape Shift.
Yeah, Scape Shift.
Yeah, that's got to be for Scape Shift and maybe Storm, probably not Storm.
I mean, it's got a lot of utility right now. Through the Breach. I mean, it pops a lot of things. It's probably, I mean, I don't know, it could just be Negate there, which would be better.
Yeah.
But this also hits, you know, Prime Time. And so I don't. I think it's cool though.
Yeah.
We got some Phyrexian Revokers, some Kitchen Finks, some Reflector Mages, and two Fracturing Gust. I will tell you, I do not want to play against Fracturing Gust.
It's been popping up a lot too.
Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of coming out of nowhere.
Oh, Affinity is definitely on the downtick. You can feel it in your bones when you're playing it.
Yeah.
People are packing hate.
Hey. All
right, we got another 7-1 Elves. So many mana decks.
Listen. Elves has been crushing it for a couple weeks now, I think. You called it a little prematurely there like a month ago, and then a week went by and we kind of went, Elves, that's never playable. And I feel like we've seen a lot of Elves.
There's
IQs we looked at earlier. Elves list everywhere.
This Elves list in particular looks a lot like the Elves list that I played before the Vizier of Remedies Devoted Druid combo.
Mm-hmm.
The weird thing, though, is he's making room, because this is like green-white elves. He's making room, though, by cutting Nettle Sentinel. So they're down to one Nettle Sentinel. Four of Devoted Druids, four of the Elites, two Visionary, which, I mean, it's the card that you often cut in sideboards, but I like having it in there. The Vizier combo with the four Archdruid and four Azuri. He's also running one Shaman in the pack.
Yeah.
And he's got Court of Calling, Collected Company, and Summoner's Pact. So he's got a lot of ways to just grab that last card he needs. Four Horizon Canopies, which makes this deck a little expensive, guys. It's about time for that reprint. What do you think, Nick?
It's got to be about time for that reprint. I don't know when we're going to get it, though, but it's got to be time.
Sideboard. We got a Burrington Forge Tender, four Path to Exiles, a Kataki War Mage. Again, Affinity Hate, Rest in Peace, Scavenging News, Selfless Spirit, two Stony Silence, an Aven Mind Censor, an Eidolon of Rhetoric, and a Wreck Sage.
I love the sideboard. I'm not in love with the list. I don't love the list. I've played Elves in Legacy. I've seen the power of Nettle Sentinel. I'm just not sure that's the card you want to cut.
Well, I think in this situation, Heritage Druid combo with Nettle Sentinel is harder to do than just having your Devoted Druids, like two Devoted Druids with an Azuri. You know what I mean? It's actually the same thing, but so
I'm just not sure if that.
I like having the one mana 2/2 beater too.
Yeah, so. I mean, it does a lot of cool things. But congrats on him, 7-1.
Was Andy Gray. We've got two 7-1 UR gift storms. Hugo 87 and Corrado. It's like Colorado, but with just some R's. Let's see. Anything interesting in these?
8-2-2s.
The 8-2-2s. And then playing one Empty the Warrens over the third Grape Shot.
Mm-hmm.
Sideboard Blood Moons.
Two pieces of puzzle. Yeah, kinda that's cool.
Completely normal. The norm now. Yeah,
two Empty the Warrens.
And that was okay. So the difference here is in Corrado's list, we've only got three Goblin Electromancers.
Yeah.
And interesting, he's playing three Blood Moons in his side. He's really going high on the Blood Moons.
So got a piece of the puzzle.
Peer Through the Depths, and he's only playing two Lightning Bolts in order to play a Repeal, and some Pyroclasms that I don't think were in the last list.
And no, double, no power cosmos in the
double
last
empty week. The Warren. So, you know, Storm, it's a really good deck. It's not that expensive online either. So it's nice. And right after that, we've got two more 7-1 lists that are I'm just gonna let you talk about these.
These are some UI controls. Listen, this could be a real big deck with the new Planeswalker rule. The deck already runs normally a ton of Gideons. I mean, 3 to 4 to 5, depending on which deck you're looking at. And they could really benefit from playing multiples at a time. The main difference between these two decks, though, is just the Planeswalker count. You know, one's running 2 Gideon allies in the car and 1 Jace. One's running, you know, 2 Jace Architect Thought and 1 Gideon. Normally, it's a 4-2 split between Wall of Omens and Snapcaster Mages. The other one's running a 3-3. But other than that, I mean, the deck's pretty solid. UA control is just pretty solid. It's not my favorite deck. I like having the red in there just for Bolt, Snap, Bolt. I feel like that can get you out of a lot of sticky situations when you can just draw it. The reason to play UA control, though, is definitely for the Spreading Seas right now and the Detention Spheres. I think Detention Sphere is a highly underrated card right now that deals with a lot of problematic, you know, cards that are coming down. But it's got a lot. It's got a lot going on. Both of them running 3 Verdicts, 3 Cryptics, and a Sphinx. I mean, so the counter package is there. The board wipe package is there. But yeah, this UA control deck could benefit from playing multiple Gideons, and so I think that's going to be something to look forward to in the future.
Sweet. Let's talk about some other decks that we see that are just cool. We've got Lanto also coming in 7-1 with the Wooburg.
Wooburg.
What is this deck? I can't even pull it up. Can you see it?
White, blue, black, red, green. It is the Death Shadow version of Wooburg. It's all in. All in Death Shadow. Death Shadow, Tarmogoyf, Street Wraith. And then it's going, you know, Tamir, Battle Rage, Terminate, Abrupt Decay, Traverse, Thoughtseize, Stubborn Denial, Inquisition, Fatal Push, Bobble.
Bobbles. He says, bobbles. You got to do the bobble. You
bobble, bobble, bobble,
bobble. Bobble, baby, bobble, bobble. All right, so we're going to speed through some of these random ones we see here. Yashimoto. This looks like a deck for you, dude. It's a black, red, pack rat. You know what that means? It means it's a Blood Moon deck.
Making rats.
Blood Moons, Dreadboards, Terminates, Culligan's Command, Collective Brutality, Thoughtseize, Lightning Bolt, Inquisition, Fatal Push. Oh, my. Liliana and Chandra, Torch of the Defiance. Dude, why aren't you playing this deck?
I like both of them. Goblin Rabblemaster. I'm a huge fan.
You get to
fan.
Play Dark Confidant, Pack Rat,
Shiver
Goblin Rabblemaster. Dude, this deck looks fun if you like being a troll, and you do. So do play this deck.
You think this deck's better than Sun Moon?
I don't know. I think it looks more fun.
Get out of here. Let's also talk about, I mean, a lot of Titan Shift. A lot of Titan Shift.
I think if this deck, well, it has a lot of dead cards against you, but I think this deck's pretty good. You've got a lot more, you know, I don't know. But yeah, so the rest of this tournament, we've got, you know, a couple Dredge, couple copies of Dredge, couple copies of Eldrazi and Taxes, a bunch of Grixis Death Shadow at 6-2 with Titan Shift, some more Storm, things like that. But I will say something notably absent. Eldrazi Tron. There is a Tron list, but it's old Tron.
Yep.
But yeah, I feel like it's interesting. Also notable, Jabberwocky, who is a big time, really, really good Jund player, traditional Jund player, was playing white, black, smallpox.
Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting choice. It's weird for him to go there, I feel like. But that's the mocks, guys. That's the mocks. So let's break it down into the Modern Challenge. 7-0 list in the Modern Challenge.
Number one,
Affinity.
I really like this deck list.
Yeah? What makes this one
really like
more?
It. So he's down to 16 lands. I know that we're both kind of on that.
But he cut a Springleaf Drum,
He cut a Springleaf Drum and added 3 Thought Casts.
Ooh, this is what I'm trying next.
Yeah, I like that. He cut a Master of Aetherium, so he's on a 3-1 split.
I like having Master, but the 3-1 seems fine. It seems relevant.
The Thought Casts, having 3 of them, seems good. No island as a basic, still a mountain.
He's just playing Glimmer Void over the other, which leaves you, you know, you can get blown out that way. I don't know. But what he's saying there is it's like the concession to that one life.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to lose that one life.
Yeah.
And to me, I don't think it's that much of a, I mean, sometimes it can be a race, but I don't know. Seems hard, but he went 7-0. He's got a Gut Shot in a sideboard, a Relic, 2 Spell Pierces, which I'm on the Spell Pierce idea now over the Stubborn Denial.
Stubborn Denial, yeah.
He's got 1 Surgical, 1 Thoughtseize, 2 Ancient Grudge, which I'm also into right now. A Netch Champion, his 4th one, a Wear Tear, the Aether Grid, which is great. Whipflare, Spellskite, and yeah, this deck is sweet. I think I'm going to try out that Thoughtcast, though. I like the Thoughtcast.
I think it's good.
Oh, and guess who just showed back up the next day? Yashimoto, the Black-Red Packrat deck. Do you think he's changed anything within the day?
No, I don't think so.
It's like look exactly the same to me.
Yep.
Sweet. So,
congrats on him, though. I mean, that's two good finishes. You can't.
Two good finishes in a row. Yeah. Then we got Funky Mo with Burn, baby. What kind of Burn is this?
Burn, baby, Burn. It's just the red-white version.
Yeah, nothing crazy.
Nothing crazy. I like the red-white version. I'm kind of off the Nakato version right now.
I think I've been off of it. Here's something interesting, though, on his sideboard. He's got four Searing Bloods on top of the four Searing Blades he's already got in his main deck. That is a lot of that ability, you know.
A lot of Searing.
Yeah, that's a bunch of Searing, man. We got M. Ricky. This dude's always killing it with some, and he's playing Storm. We've got Jed G with WRG. What is this? This looks like a Nahiri deck. Jed G. Dude, what do you think about this? This is the deck. This is what I was saying. If you're into a Counters Company deck, this is where I thought it would be good.
This is probably where you would go. It's Naya, so you get a lot of cool things with it. You get
Magus of the Moon.
Magus of the Moon. You get Simeon Spirit Guide. You get Nahiri. So it's cool. I like it. Three chords, three collected companies. You have the combo in there. You also have Nahiri in there for the Emrakul package. Sideboard looks good.
Yeah, I like this deck.
I think it looks good. I mean, it's definitely...
I haven't seen it in a while, so it's cool that it's there.
It's a comboed Nahiri deck for sure. Like, you have multiple ways to win.
We got Ad Nauseam coming in at 5-2. Haven't seen Ad Nauseam in a while either, but you know what Ad Nauseam does. We talked about it last time. This one does have three main deck Ley Lines of Sanctity, though. I think a lot of people are kind of moving to that if they're going to be playing this deck. Let's see. Anything else? What's this black, red, green?
There's four Eldrazi Tron that went 5-2. Definitely something to note that maybe the field was a little nicer to the Eldrazi Tron players here for the challenge rather than the mocks.
Here we go, man. Odorous Urungus. Cool name. Goblin Guide. Insolent Neonate. Monastery Swiss Bear. Burning Tree Emissary. Reckless Bushwhacker. Vengevine. Hollow One. Street Wraith.
What up? Sounds fast.
This deck is sweet. It is. Become a Mince, Teamer Battle Rage, Lightning Bolt, Faithless Looting. It's got the Reckless Bushwhacker package with the Hollow One, with the Burning Tree Emissaries. Like, turn one, Faithless Looting out, you know, and then Street Wraith, play a 4-4, then Burning Tree him to death with some... I think this deck looks sweet. Remember when on, like, our first episode, and I told you I was playing around with Hollow One, Faithless Looting, Street Wraith combo? And I thought it was the best card coming out of that set.
Yeah.
It is completely taken over people's minds. Like, they love this as a super aggro deck. Now, I never had Vengevine whenever I was doing it, and I should have. Vengevine is sweet. And I want to pick some up, but they're pretty pricey.
Yeah.
This is an awesome deck. Congratulations to him. But yeah, you're right. A lot of Eldrazi Tron. Got a few Living Ends, some Death Shadows. But other than that, man, it's modern. Number one card, though, of this tournament.
What is it?
Relic of Progenitus.
Gotta have it.
Number two.
Path to Exile?
Yep. Yeah. Three, Lightning Bolt. It's back on.
Bolt's dead, right?
Pushes is gone. No, not anymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Lots of removal as your number one cards for this tournament.
Yeah, heck yeah.
We got one more tournament to talk about, and that is Legacy. Don't worry, we're not going to forget about you, baby.
Never forget.
We love us some Legacy.
Never surrender.
Legacy Challenge, a lot of numbers behind it. The one this weekend. The only 6-0, only six rounds. I wish I would have played in this one. I'm dumb. The only 6-0 is Four Color Loam. Four Color Loam is a lands-like deck. Not really. It has some of the same elements that lands does, but because you're a Mox Diamond Loam deck, you play Punishing Fire, but... This deck, you get to play Green Sun Zenith, Dark Confidant, Gaddock Teague, Scavenging Ooze, and Knight of the Reliquary. Yep. And now they get main deck Ramunap Excavator, which I think is very good because you can Wasteland Lock them. They're not playing anything that they can play extra lands per turn, but it doesn't really matter. You're gonna ramp up a little bit with your Mox Diamond, and that's about all the ramp you need. You've got main deck Sylvan Library, and you're just going to value the shit out of them.
Yeah.
I mean, you got so much stuff in your sideboard that's really good, too. You get to play Containment Priest, Thalia, Guardian of Thraben, Rex Sages, Vindicates. It's a really cool deck. I think this is a deck, Nate, honestly, that I think you would like playing.
I think I would like playing this, too. It might be something I might actually consider soon.
The problem is the Tabernacle main. This deck, though, can get away without a Tabernacle. It's still one of those. It's still hard.
I think you have to have it. But I don't have to get one.
But on Magic Online, Tabernacle is not very much. Tabernacle is, you know, $4 or something. Or right. I don't even know if it's that much. It might be like $1.
Yeah.
You know, in paper, yes, this is an expensive one. But most of the Legacy tournaments we've been seeing lately are allowing proxies. So that's a good one. What do we got at 5-1?
Black green depths.
God, I love my lands, man, and I love me some Lotus Petals, and I love so many things. I love Crop Rotation. I love Fast Mana, Elvish Spirit Guide, this Sylvan Safekeeper, which is a pretty cool card.
Which is a cool card for sure.
And I love Dark Depths, dude. Yeah. Who doesn't like Merit Lage? Who doesn't like a big old 2020 Indestructible Flying Ice Monster?
Big old
booty on him. He got a big old butt on him.
Sure does.
Yeah, man. Black green depths. These Turbo Depths decks have really been taking off. Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about it for a while. Here, you can talk about this one, buddy. This is, again, you can talk about this next one. It's 5-1 deck. Oh, this deck annoys me.
Four color Leovold?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
What?
This is magic. Four Deathrite Shaman, four Baleful Shrix, three Snaps, two Leovolds. I truly believe that Leovold right now is the second best card in Legacy.
What's the best?
I think that it takes a lot to really undo Force of Will from Legacy. Like, I feel like that's the card over that Brainstorm? Everybody plays. Yeah, even over Brainstorm.
Oh,
I,
you just
I
think,
could make
you
a
think,
case for that.
Oh, you okay, you think that Force of Will helps the identity of Legacy more than anything else?
Yes. Like, okay. It is one of the best cards.
It is one of the cards that, like, make you want to play.
That make you want to play. And I think Leovold is the number two card. Like, that card makes me want to play.
I don't even think this deck is
colors in Legacy.
I don't even think this deck is viable really without Deathrite Shaman.
I mean, there's a point there.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't think this deck could happen without.
I mean, that's
Deathrite.
Probably
it would get crushed.
True. Turn 3 Jace the Mind Sculptor isn't great.
Turn 2 Leovold is pretty good.
Oh, turn 2 Leovold is pretty good.
Yeah,
but and turn 3 Jace the Mind Sculptor is not great.
Who cares? You don't.
Yeah,
that's
no,
not.
No
important.
One really gives a shit about that.
But yeah, turn to Leovold, or just the fact that you have so much mana fixing with your own and instant graveyard hate. I mean, you just have so many options. This deck can attack you from so many angles. It's got a main deck Diabolic Edict too, which I hate seeing as a lands player. And Hymn to Torok, one in the main. And again, it just blows my mind, these Culligan's commands that are so good in every format.
Everything.
Anything cool in the sideboard?
Get your foils while you can.
A Fork Bolt, good against elves, if you didn't know that. And some Elemental Blasts of both varietals. We got Grixis
cool
Delver. Reen
Ranjup.
Anything interesting about these? We actually have two, Jack Sat and Reen Ranjup. No, these are pretty normal. Actually, this one's got a Snapcaster Mage in it, which is not 100% normal. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, that seems kind of odd. I mean, just the one of...
Main deck Culligan's Command. It looks like what he did was cut a Daze and added a Snap. So you're cutting a 2-mana removal that usually costs you nothing, or a bounce lands, a little tempo. I think that's fine. People play around Daze regardless when you're when you're a Delver deck. So yeah, that's not bad. It helps you in the sideboard too when you bring in some of these super powerful cards like Surgical. Whenever you Surgical and then Snap Surgical, really feels good.
Yeah,
really feels good. The Grixis Delver underneath that by Jack Sad. This looks like a pretty straightforward Grixis Delver deck.
Yeah.
He is playing two Fork Bolts, which is something that I saw more in like a Rug Delver or Teemer Delver deck.
Yeah, for sure.
But he's cut a Force of Will main.
Not sure I like that too much. I mean, I guess so. I guess it's okay. If you're seeing a lot of lands, Force of Will isn't great in that matchup anyway. And there's a couple matchups where having Force isn't great.
You really just need to protect yourself from, like, turn one death. Like,
in the
Delver Mirror, I don't like Force of Will, right? You board it out so often. You just need to... You need it against those decks that are just going to go off, the Glass Cannon decks. So he has the fourth one on the sideboard. that he's going to bring in the spell pierces and everything else. He's just going to go and fluster storms. Yeah. But in the main deck, sometimes it's really bad to be that card down.
Yeah.
But like it might be really good against our 4-2 deck. So we got two copies of Big Red. You know, if you go turn one,
Sklut.
Chalice of Void, I'm going to need that Force of Will.
Yeah, for sure.
Real bad.
Real bad.
So that's kind of important. Turn one Trinisphere, turn one Blood Moon.
Just but, all of that.
You know, those Force of Wills is what helped this deck stay at 4-2 and not 6-0.
Yeah.
4-2 is a respectable record, though, in Legacy. That is a very respectable. So we got two. The Glorybringer, dude. Glorybringer in the main is what happened we saw last time.
Bringing it down. I like both these lists. Honestly, they both do different things. They're both good.
You're into these.
I'm into the red decks right now. I don't know why. But it's something I'd play. Four Trinisphere, I mean, I dig it.
I don't see any real crazy lists out there. There is a Leovold list that's running a Notion Thief main and some Dak Fadens.
Kind of cool.
It's pretty wild. It doesn't look... It's got the Punishing Fire package. I mean, it's just Grixis control, kind of, but I don't think it's like one lightning bolt. You know, it's got some weird numbers on it. It didn't do real great. Or no, it did 4-2, actually. Sorry, I thought this was the one that I was looking at. It was a little lower. This is a weird deck. I mean, Toxic Deluge main. I don't know how I feel about this. This looks like a cool deck that you kind of put together and just bring to a tournament, though.
Right.
Bunch of Grixis Delver, though. Some Miracles.
Couple burn decks. I mean, that's something.
Burn, man, but they're 3-3. But,
they're 3-3 and 4-2, but not bad.
But Burn is a deck that could get you into the format and get you learning. It costs, in paper, Burn costs $300. Like something like
Legacy,
that.
Legacy, $350.
Yeah,
yep.
$300 for Burn Legacy. And that's if you get all of the fetches.
Yeah.
You know, it's really... I know $300 is still a lot of money. I'm not trying to be insensitive or anything like that. $300 is still a lot. But if you wanted to get into the format... And you wanted to start learning, Burn is not a bad place to start. It's not the best deck in Legacy, but if you get really good with it and people aren't used to playing against Burn in Legacy, you can just crush so many people. You guys have to understand that Price of Progress is a devastating card.
Oh, for sure.
In Legacy. And if they're not playing around it, if they're not...
It's a blowout.
Oh, man. It just crushes people. That's why Burn can also train... like. Can turn into your blue-red Delver, which is also a very good card, and you're learning some of the same basics, and you're just moving up. And from there, you can just keep expanding. I mean, then you can get into Grixis, and now you're talking about a complete tier one deck, if not the best deck, kind of best deck in the format.
Yeah.
Man, I think it's pretty sweet. You see anything else? Pascal Maynard went 3-3 with Miracles. Yeah, it didn't seem very good.
Yeah, it doesn't seem very good, yeah.
No. I don't see that much else. Oh, here is one deck. Got one last deck to talk about, and then we're going to wrap this episode up. And that is, it only went 3-3, but this is a deck that I like. It is the white-black. It's mostly just white, but it is the, Death and Taxes, Eldrazi Death and Taxes, but in Legacy. So you get to play Ancient Tombs, Cavern of Souls, City of Traders, and Temples, Caracas, Scrubland, Wasteland. So you get like all your big Eldrazi lands, but you get to play. Here's the reason to play the deck. You're getting to play stuff like Palace Jailer, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
But Thalia, Heretic Cathar is so good. Turn one, like all your lands come into play tapped, all your creatures come into play tapped. Everything I've just put you so far off. Plus I got a 3-2 First Striker. You get Eldrazi Displacer, Containment Priest, and Walking Ballista. You get to play with Jit. Lotus Petals, and which I kind of like Lotus Petals or Mox Diamonds there, and Chalice of the Void. Turn one Chalice into turn two, you know, Thalia or Big Thalia, and then just start Thought Knotting them and Reality Smashing them to death. I like this deck. I really was a big fan of it, and I was working on this deck for a long time. I found that just Colorless Eldrazi is still probably a little bit better, but if you want to be doing something a little bit more interesting, this is a cool deck. That also, you can make this just white and colorless, and this is also not that expensive of a deck when you get into it because some of the lands aren't that crazy. Like, obviously your chalices, but this deck can also be a modern deck you poured up, you know? So it's not bad. That is our tournament report for the weekend.
I got one more thing.
Oh, do
one
you?
More thing.
Okay, good.
One more thing.
Let's hear it.
So while exploring the dark webs... of MTG.
The Dark Webs.
And YouTube, as it turns out. I came across a really cool deck, Modern Scarab God Landlock.
Oh, cool. What is this?
It is a black-blue deck that has a Landlock combo of Quicksilver Fountain and Ouroboros, Palace in the Clouds. And so the way it works is that you lay down Quicksilver Fountain, a 3-drop artifact. At the beginning of each player's upkeep, that player puts a flood counter on target non-island land he or she controls of his or her choice. That land is an island for as long as it has a flood counter on it. At the beginning of each end step, if all lands on the battlefields are island, remove all flood counters. And so you lay this down. Yeah. And then hopefully you have an Ouroboros, Palace in the Clouds. So at your upkeep, you target your Ouroboros, and then you tap it for a mana and return it to your hand, therefore nullifying the flood counter on a land. Mm-hmm. And then you can replay that land for turn, right? And then the rest of the deck is just Bloodghast, Liliana of the Veils, Damnations, Collective Brutalities, Hand Disruption, and one Scarab God.
Oh, this is cool. This seems like a kind of fun deck.
Yeah, this seems like a really cool deck. So you essentially get your opponent to have all islands, and then if ever they lay a land, they get to use it for that turn before it comes an island on their next turn. And then you just try and set up for a huge Scarab God or Bloodghast that never die. They always come back.
This deck just seems very slow, though.
It does seem slow. And I watched games, and
Damnation
was slow.
What, did you watch some games?
I did. I watched all of his games with it. And it was slow, but not as slow as you would think. He's got a lot of disruption as far as Fatal Push and Inquisition and Thoughtseize.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the full set of snaps to kind of protect him. Damnation got a reprint, so it's cheaper. You can play a full set of those. Tassiger's been a good blocker. And the real beatdown card that I think of this deck, besides the Quicksilver Ouroboros kind of combo, was Collective Brutality.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times he discarded something he didn't need, plus a Bloodghast, got all three modes, played a land, and got his Bloodghast back.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a lot. It was a lot. I mean, that card was a beating in this specific deck. So the deck's cool. Check it out on YouTube. It's a Modern Scarab God Landlock combo deck.
Will you tweet out the link to that?
I will tweet out the guy
who made that?
It was somebody from MTG Goldfish. I want to say...
Oh, Saffron Olive?
I don't know if it was Saffron Olive or not.
Well, we'll tweet out a link to that deck.
We'll tweet it out for you. Really
that
cool
does
deck
look cool.
To watch.
Looks like it would be fun
and
to kind of play.
He gets to pull off the combo more than I thought he would.
Yeah, I mean... I could see it over time with so much removal. Definitely could see it.
Yeah.
But
I think that's it.
All right, man. Well, here's what we want to do. We have a couple closing statements. And next week, we're going to have some tournaments to talk about, but it's going to be a lot of standard again. We have GPDC coming up.
Yep.
We're not going to be attending. We're unable to get there. And it's been a while since we've been to a big tournament, but we have a couple coming up in the works. But for next week's episode, we would love to talk to you guys more. Could you tweet in some questions? Help us out. Tweet in some questions or suggestions for segments or anything that you would like. If there's something, well, it's like not really a mailbag episode, but anything that you'd like to know about us, about the pod, or about Magic, or about our opinion, please tweet at us or get at us somehow. You know, yell at us on the road if you are passing us by. I don't care what you do. Just
we'll figure it out.
Hit us up, and we'd love to talk about it, and we'd love to chat with you. Always go to @TiltedPod on Twitter. You can go to the Tilted Play Network on YouTube. You can find us at the MTG Cast Network online. This episode, we should have an episode out every Wednesday/Thursday. We're gonna just try to put more and more content out.
Yep.
With that all being said, I am Jack, Seth, whatever. I don't even know my name. I am
Wilds.
At Wilds. Just whatever. I'm a wild one. And I'm here with Nate the Daywalker. And we love you. And we are out.
Bye-bye.